In the house of the Lord, good to see you all. Had a good day today. You know, whenever I am asked to come and preach a meeting somewhere, I really struggle with what to preach. And today was especially difficult. I knew that when I was going to hold this meeting, that it was going to be on the anniversary of 9/11. And I really think a lot of people have forgotten what happened on that day. And I don't know if this is a revival message. But I do pray that it might be taken as a warning. So if you would turn in your Bibles this evening to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah 9 and verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had a place in the wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beast are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. I want to preach a message tonight simply titled 9/11. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And in this book, God revealed to him the judgments that would come upon his beloved nation, the nation of Israel, for their rebellion, their immorality, their idolatry. Jeremiah wept over the spiritual demise and the physical destruction that he knew was coming upon his country. There are several times in the book, and for sake of time, we won't go through them, but God was so fed up with the nation of Israel at this point in their history that several times in this book, God tells Jeremiah to not even pray for this people. Jeremiah 7:16, 11:14, and 14:11. I'm telling you, you're in pretty bad shape when Almighty God tells His prophet, the preacher, not to pray for the people of the land. I'm sure that when I announced the title of my message, everyone knew what I was talking about. You probably began to immediately think where you were and what you were doing on Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. 17 years ago today. It's a date that will live in infamy. On that day, Islamic terrorists attacked America. 2,606 people died in the Twin Towers. 265 died on the planes that were used. 125 died in the attack on the Pentagon for a total of 2,996 people killed, and another 6,000 plus were injured on that day of infamy. 9/11 changed everything. Immediately after the attacks, I can remember so vividly on 9/12 how Americans came together. There were calls all over the land for prayer. There seemed to be a concern, at least for a time, for the things of God. It is as if God had sent us a warning shot, and there were people who were listening. I know of people that were then now open to hearing the gospel. We had one member of our church that had been disciplined, and the Lord used that to bring him back, and now he's one of our faithful. He'd been restored to fellowship. Amen. There was a somber tone in our nation. It seemed as though that life seemed more precious. It appeared that people really did care for one another. Whether you were an independent, Democrat, Republican, it seemed like in the aftermath of 9/11, we were Americans. Sad to say that the spiritual concern and the coming together as a nation that had been renewed for a very brief window of time didn't last long. And now that I have 17 years to reflect back on our history, I've come to a conclusion that history will reveal that 9/11 marked the beginning of an intense acceleration of wickedness and immorality and godlessness in our fair land. In every aspect of American culture, things changed politically, educationally, and even religiously. We are far, far, far removed from what we were when we were founded upon Christian principles. And when I say, I don't ever believe that America had a majority of Christian people in it. I don't think that's ever been true. God's people, God's elect, have always been a minority everywhere. But there was an ethic. There was a moral code that had been in place because of the truths of the Word of God that permeated our land. Amen. And we have seen that eroded. And the fabric of that come undone. We are seeing the downward spiral that happens when God gives a people over to a reprobate mind. A mind void of judgment. You can read it in Romans chapter 1 and you can see how these things are increasingly becoming more and more and more apparent in our culture and in our society. And the sad thing is, so many people take pleasure in seeing the downfall of a nation that was once known for Christian principles. I believe that 9/11 was a wake-up call for America. I don't believe anything happens by accident. The Bible says that God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Even things that we think are horrific are within the realm of God's providence. There are times that God uses the depravity of man to alert and alarm people. And 9/11 was one of those occasions. I love America. I believe it's a crying sin and shame that our universities are filled with people that are teaching our young people to hate our beloved country, to hate the Judeo-Christian ethic that this nation was founded upon. I hate that socialism and Marxism and Islam has gained such prominence in our nation. Even with all of our flaws, and we certainly have had many, there is not a nation that has done more mission work, that has sent the gospel throughout all the world and established churches all over the world, who has built hospitals, who's come to the aid of other countries when crises and weather events take place. America has been the one moral force around the world. And I believe because we have Christian principles that are embedded in the founding of our nation. But sadly, like many nations, America had become ungodly, unjust, unholy, unrepentant, and rushing madly into more wickedness by the time 9/11 came. And all you have to do is look at our brief history. In the late 1800s, there were calls in religious seminaries and they began to teach preachers to doubt the inspiration, the veracity of the Holy Scriptures. To actually teach religious young men who were training for the ministry that the Word of God, you didn't know if it was all the Word of God or not. And those seminaries began to graduate men that didn't believe in the virgin birth, that did not believe in the literal death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the time you got to the 1920s and 30s, we officially had said as a country that Genesis 1:1 was a farce. I don't believe it's a farce. I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I am unapologetic about it. I believe in a young earth. I won't compromise with evolutionists. I don't believe in a gap. I don't believe in a day-age theory. I believe in a young earth. And that God created it in six literal days. And that He rested on the seventh day. And I won't back up. I don't care how many degrees somebody has behind their name. I'm going to stand for thus saith the Lord. But we began to have preachers who were mealy-mouthed. They were weak tea and pink lemonade preachers. And they wouldn't stand upon the inspiration, the authenticity, the authority of the Word of the living God. And because of that, people's belief in the Bible began to wane. They doubted whether this really was the Word of God. They began to teach evolution. They began to teach our young people in every single government and public school and university that this world came about by chance. Well, you know what? I live in southern Ohio. And even I know that it can't be. I live on Buffalo Creek Road, and I got more sense to know. Does anybody have a smartphone? All right. Do you think for a minute that this thing just, all the components came together one day, they were all laying some, all scattered abroad, and all of a sudden, all the components of this smartphone came together, and lo and behold, you can get on the internet with it. You think that just happened? No, this thing, there was a designer. There's an architect that planned and put this thing together. And this ain't near as complex as the human body. Amen. And as our universe. Amen. God is the creator. Amen. We ought never to back up or apologize for that. Right. Yet I fear that many preachers were. I did a study, a 10-week study on creation and Christianity. And I've got probably 30 systematic theology books written by a variety of men. I love reading. And I began to study what men stated in those systematic theologies prior to the publication of The Origin of the Species by the reprobate Charles Darwin. And do you know, to a man, they all believed in a literal six-day creation. But you get into the 1860s, the 70s, and you begin to see these seminaries, they began to compromise. And they began to say, well, maybe this scientific theory, maybe there is some basis there. And they developed a system called theistic evolution. I'll tell you what, it's a lie from hell. But evolution has caused great harm in our nation. You see, you start teaching people that they're just animals, and it won't be long before they'll start acting like them. Without any moral compass, any moral foundation. Well, it didn't take long. In the early 60s, through the efforts of basically one woman and the ACLU, they took God, His Word, His commandments, prayer, out of the schools. And out of the public forum. And they tried to use the exception clause against any form of free speech regarding the truth of the Word of God, and people bought into it. And you know what? People in individual school systems let them. Christian people let them. They threw God out. Not long after that, the 60s just blew up with immorality, anarchy, godlessness, the sexual revolution. And it was so vile and so wicked and so ungodly, we had become so wretched as a nation. So void of judgment and spiritual discernment that in 1973, our nation wrote a law that said it was absolutely legal for a woman to exterminate and kill the child in her womb. Our nation has forgotten God. When you get to the place where we are now, where there's a movement afoot saying, shout your abortion, brag about it, brag about killing a human life in the womb, you see, in the 60s, our nation threw away virtue, chastity. And it was the beginning of the downfall of one of the most important institutions in our culture, the home. I believe our government has systematically done more harm to the black race by the laws that they've passed. It's hard to find a black home in the inner city with a man in it. Because women can get more government benefits if they're not married. And that was set in place way back in the 60s. I'm telling you, that's godless. It's decimated the black community. Those theories and those ideals. You get away from biblical principles. You get away from a basic family unit of a husband, a wife, and children being trained up. You've got disaster. And now we're reaping the results of it. In the late 80s, as homosexuality became more open and more brazen and more prevalent, we had a new disease. And it mainly afflicted those who were drug users and homosexuals. And the after effects of that were the innocent who came in contact with that. It was called AIDS. We didn't listen. The 1990s were rife with myriads of perversion, greed, ungodliness. These are all things historically we can look back now and see that our nation was ripe for judgment on 9/11. You know, God has raised up heathen nations and pagans in the past to judge His people. He did it to Israel. He raised up the Assyrians and the Babylonians to chastise and punish His people. And God will use the heathen to bring about His warnings. It was a wake-up call, but I wonder how many of us are awake. Make no mistake about it, was an attack on the Judeo-Christian way of life. principles that are founded upon the truth of the Word of God. Listen, do you think that these people that are saying diversity this, diversity that, promoting homosexual marriage and all, do you think they care anything about homosexuals? They don't care a bit about them. They're using that to get to this. Because this is what says it's an abomination. This is what says that if you don't turn to God, if you don't repent, if you don't believe the gospel, that you will be judged by Almighty God. That's what they're really after. Satan has employed many devices in his attempt to destroy Christianity and its value system and the principles of the Word of God. So much so, you go to your average public school today and ask some kid to name the four Gospels. Ask them if they know what the Ten Commandments are. You know, when I go out door knocking, I ask people, do you know who Jesus Christ is? Our education system is full of Marxism, socialism, communism, and at the root of all that is a denial of God, His Word, the family, the institution of the family, the truth about the church and its mission. You see, they don't want people to depend on God. If you would have told me 30 years ago, when I was saved in 1980, if you would have told me then that Islam would become one of the fastest growing religions in the world, I would have laughed at you. Who wants to join up with something like that? Islam has been one of the most effective ways for Satan to diminish the Christian way of life because it is a political ideology and system that poses as a religion. As such, it has gotten protected status in America. They are free to undermine the principles of a democratic republic because they say that they are religion. Now, by the way, progressive secular humanism also has a religion. It's being taught in our schools to our kids every single day that there is no God, He's not a creator, that there is no salvation in Christ. So that's just as wicked as Islam. Islam in America, do you know in Dearborn, Michigan, right now, they have pretty much taken over that city. And in certain pockets, they are free to institute Sharia law, which undermines our democratic republic. We are not a democracy. We are not a social democracy. We are a democratic republic. But I can remember right after 9/11 when President Bush and other prominent politicians after the attack said that they wanted to make sure everybody knew that Islam is a religion of peace. That's one of the biggest lies ever hatched out of hell. You look anywhere where Islam is, let me tell you, do you think that the Muslims would let me go into Saudi Arabia, into Iran, into Iraq today and promote the truths of Jesus Christ? No. They'd imprison me. They're imprisoning people. They're killing people right now. It is not equal to Christianity. Islam teaches that Muhammad was the final prophet to reveal God. They teach that His sayings and teachings are more important than any other sacred writings. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in His literal death and resurrection. And they believe in a system of work salvation that is pure legalism, bound up in how you obey the teachings of the prophet. Islam allows for the execution of infidels who reject Muhammad and Allah. I reject him. He was a pervert. He raped young girls for his own pleasure. He taught his followers that it was right if people will not succumb to Islam to kill them, to execute them. You examine the countries of the Middle East, Asia, Europe, that have embraced Islam. Wherever there's Islam, there's violence. There's oppression. Listen, I'm against gay marriage. I'm against homosexuality. But you know what? I don't mistreat them. I preach the gospel to them. I pray that God will save them. In Saudi Arabia, it's fully... If they find out you're a homosexual, they throw you off buildings. Wherever you find Islam, you find intense persecution of Christians. You have economic instability. The only exception would be Saudi Arabia, where they're oil rich, and we support their economy. There's no sense in us buying oil from anybody. We got plenty of it right here. All these things. It was a perfect storm that led up to 9/11. We've been weakened as a nation, as a country. And there are consequences. And I've seen it in my own lifetime, and so have you. People are more fearful. They're less trusting. Even though Islam is a false religion based on a political ideology that is oppressive, I think the attack caused a lot of people to question all religion. See, the tinder was already there. They just lit the fire. And it seems as though every time there's an Islamic terrorist attack, our government bends over backward not to offend Muslims. I'm going to tell you, I want us to get back to standing for truth, no matter who it offends. Consequence of 9/11, our government has grown in size and it's systematically seizing control of various freedoms that we enjoyed. The intrusion of the NSA with the Patriot Act. I'm telling you, folks, it seems as though everything we do, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, I'm a realist. What's not being recorded today? What am I saying? Yeah, if this message goes, when I preach messages like this, my wife, when I get home, she says, I hope they don't find out where we live. No matter what it is, if I preach on a hot topic and I get lathered up about it, she said, oh, I pray to God, oh God, please keep us. Protect us, Lord. But everything's recorded. Everything's video. Everything's being listened to. And what's happened since 9/11? Our country has become more divided than ever before. There's more political polarization and racial animus than I've seen in my entire lifetime. People can't even talk to each other anymore. There's hatred. There's cruelty. And I'm telling you, folks, it is a crying shame to see what our country is doing to our elected president. I'm not defending what things that Donald Trump has said or done. But I tell you what, I don't think we've ever treated a president like this. As long as I can remember. I've never seen so much hatred. It's not going to get better. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, especially if you don't go along with the globalization efforts. We've had more violence. We've had more terror attacks. The state of West Virginia has been crippled by heroin and by drugs. When I was a kid, the only places you ever heard of people doing heroin was in New York City. Now, in Huntington, West Virginia, there is an article in every day's paper. People are being doped up to death. And our country is becoming so ignorant that rather than teach the truth as it is in Jesus and teach moral principles founded upon the Word of God, let's give them more needles so they can shoot up safely. I'm going to tell you something. You can't shoot up safely. Oh, let's give all the kids condoms so they can have safe sex. Kids, let me tell you something. There is no safe sex out of marriage. Between a man, a husband, and a wife. Everything else is fornication and adultery. And it's not being preached in our day. It's why we are where we are. So much chaos, especially in Islamic countries, has caused a refugee and an immigration crisis the world over. When people used to want to come to America to be Americans. Because our country, the land of the free and the brave and freedom, offered a better way of life. And now people come into our country and they don't want to assimilate. They don't want to embrace our values. They want to go against the values upon which we were founded. These are the consequences of 9/11. There's been a rapid breakdown of the family unit. It seems like the only people that want to get married now are homosexuals. Everybody else wants to live in sin. When was the last time you heard a preacher say that? This is where we're at. And I am saddened by what happened on 9/11. 3,000 souls died that day. And I'd say that probably a majority of them are in hell. Just by plain human statistics. But you know, in relationship to Roe v. Wade, 3,000, there are 3,000 babies killed every day in America. Yet we've become so calloused, so hard of heart, that we don't give that a moment's thought. I believe there's hope. See, I'm a premillennialist. I believe that with all my heart, I know that things are coming and getting worse. But I believe God can save people in any time, anywhere. And if this church is going to have revival, you got to get sin out of your life. You got to go to God and confess it. You've got to make a determination that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to take our stand. We need to be unapologetic. We need to preach the truth in love. When was the last time you witnessed to somebody? When was the last time you witnessed to a Muslim? I hate them Muslims. They need the gospel just as much as we do. We support a missionary who his main mission is to reach Muslims in America. He's just a skinny little boy. I bet he don't weigh, he got 3 or 4 kids. I bet he don't weigh 110 pounds soaking wet. He goes right in the thick of them Muslims and preaches the gospel to them. The only hope for our nation that is broken is not a political system or a political Messiah. It's Jesus Christ. Crucified, buried, and risen again as the only way of salvation. We've been warned. 17 years later, where are we at? We're worse off. I pray God does something with us in these last days when evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. I pray that He'll raise us up.
Amen.
That He'll use true New Testament Baptist churches to teach the truth, to love sinners, to share the gospel, to live a life that shows this world that there is something that is far better than the slop that this old world is offering. Now, I don't know if this was a revival message tonight. But I do know that this truth in 2 Chronicles, and I'll end with it, and Don gave me permission today. He said, you preach just as long as you want. Didn't you? Don't worry, Sister Bean. I'm not going any longer. All right, don't worry a bit about it. You know, when somebody says that, usually somebody, like I think it was, your name's Tirsa, isn't it? Yeah. I think she kind of went... Right. Come on, Brother Bean. This guy preached 45 minutes last night. What are you doing to us? You're killing us, man. You know what my reply was to him? You know how long J.R. Graves used to preach in his revival meetings in the South in the summertime when they would have 6 weeks extended meetings? He would preach 3 hours at a time. And buildings would be packed with sweaty Southerners,
yes,
listening to it. If my people,
amen,
which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, how we need that today. Brother, you come.